Welcome to the Hammer Time Radio Show, transmitting on the A. Henny Manshaven Radio Studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Yes, I am Maurice, and it's nice to be with you. I trust that each and every one of you in the listening audience out there enjoyed the Christmas holiday. Again, I could say Merry Christmas and Happy Hanukkah to those, as well as a Merry New Year that we got coming up. I hope it's not too merry from that standpoint. The little adage that came on behalf of Frontier Towing during the last program, I think, is very, very important. And it isn't, it probably would not be recommended to challenge the system, especially on New Year's Eve that is coming up. So, anyway, take care of yourself, have a grand time, and enjoy everything we have at the Cerrone family. We had many family and friends that came into town from points yonder, so to speak. We had a great time, relaxed, a lot of interaction of family, children, grandchildren, things of that nature, which was extremely appropriate and enjoyable for all concerned. Lots of food. Maybe that's unfortunate. Maybe the dietary necessity is coming up in order to prevent overindulgence that probably occurred, depending on somebody's reaction, with the excellent foods that we had throughout the activity. So the best of all with the coming new year. I hope that 2019 has ended in a very productive manner for everybody. It has for A. Henny Manshaven and the Cerrone family. And for the 2020 year coming up, lots of activities going on, lots of things that are going to occur as usual for everybody in their entire life. So enjoy it, do the best you can, and keep the spirit. During this holiday season, just as a reminder, A. Henny Manshaven has been closed since the 23rd of December. We will open back up again on January 2nd at 9 a.m. in the morning in Tucson and 8:30 in the morning in Green Valley. That's 5 days, folks, so we'll be anxious to see each of you that want to come on down or give us a phone call, and we'll be able to assist you in the solution to many questions that you may have. Our Tucson address is located at 1724 South 6th Avenue, the big yellow building, 6 blocks south of 22nd Street. It's between 27th and 28th Streets. If you get to 29th Street, we're back over your right shoulder if you're going southbound. The hours of operation in Tucson are from 9 a.m. in the morning to 5 p.m. in the afternoon. Our phone number in Tucson is 520-624-7200. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas. That's Suite 103 Alpha. By exiting I-19 on the Duval Mine Roads, immediately get into the left-hand lane as you start heading westbound. Pick up the frontage road and go about a quarter of a mile or so down to the Duval Mine Roads and take that to Calle de las Tiendas. 125 West, Suite 103 Alpha. Phone number in Green Valley is 520-369-4858. The hours of operation are from 9 a.m. to about 4:30 p.m. in the afternoon, and that is Monday through Friday. In this case, it'll be Wednesday through Friday. I believe that is the case for the 2nd. January 2nd will be on a Thursday, so it'll be Thursday and Friday of this coming week. So looking forward to seeing you, talking to you folks again about what's going on in your activities as far as do-it-yourself projects. If you'd like to enter the conversation today or talk to us about your do-it-yourself project, give us a call here at the studio at 520-790-2040. We have an open line. You can enter into the discussion of most any activity that you'd like to talk about. I'd like to talk about one activity that has been going on in the Cerrone household. We've been doing Saltillo tile work in one of our bathrooms. It's not a very big bathroom. It's an interesting bathroom from that standpoint. I'll talk a little bit about more about that later. But laying down Saltillo tile is always an experience. It's an extremely porous tile, very sensitive to water and collecting of dirt. So it does have to be kept very clean till you complete the entire project. So we did get it laid down. We centered the planks or the tiles itself, the 11.5 by 11.5 tiles. We did not use the rounded tile. We used the so-called rough square edge tiles, looking for the rustic aspect of it. Got that all laid down and then went through the grouting sequence. We did not use a pre-grout sealer, which I know is available today. We just went into laying the grout and then cleaning it up afterwards. It does clean up rather profoundly. From that standpoint, you do have to keep the water in the bucket relatively clean. Otherwise, you would be impregnating the grout coloring, at least, back into the tiles, and that's not the overall purpose. So we're waiting for it to dry. After it gets adequately dried, we will then get ready to seal it with a couple of very good sealer coats that's available, and we'll be ready to put everything back together again and utilize the bathroom appropriately. I did make mention that we'll talk about the bathroom later, and it's rather interesting. The house is the home is a 1950s home. It was designed by the contractor, I'm sure with support of draftsmen and the architect involved. And the master bedroom, along with the master bedroom bath, which is what I was just working on, is rather interesting. It is a three-bedroom home, and as a result, the master bath, so to speak, which includes a shower, a water closet, as well as a sink. It could hold three people as long as one is in the shower and one is sitting down and one is washing their hands. But don't open the door, because as soon as you open the door, you're going to send the sink person right into the person that's sitting down. It will bash right into the shower wall or the glass sliding doors. It's only about 32 square feet, the entire bathroom itself. And you put all that equipment in there, and it's not much room for anybody. And why in any sort of design the master bathroom would have been so small with such a large home and the two adults that have to use that periodically. If everybody is on the same wavelength, believe me, it's going to be a challenge to maneuver through the operation and do what needs to be done. To get dressed in a bathroom, of which many people do at this time period, would not be recommended, because you'd be locking the bathroom up for the entire time period. Anyway, that's what's going on. Looks like we're coming to the conclusion of our first segment. Our production engineer, Kurt, is with us this morning or this afternoon. And so, Kurt, welcome. Hope you had a great time. And we'll see you after the break, folks. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice, transmitting in the A. Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. Getting back into the items of today's discussion, again, I'd like to emphasize, if you'd like to call in with any suggestions or do-it-yourself projects or questions that you may have, please call us on 520-790-2040. For those that have just started listening, I hope each of you had a very Merry Christmas, and the upcoming New Year will be very happy for everybody. I'd like to talk a little bit about A. Handyman's Haven's vision at this time period. We expect excellence in everything we do. And you notice I did use the word expect. That is the expectance that we have personally as well as a team. And as a result of that, many discussions come up, and we try to provide that with our designs and the construction techniques that we utilize in our mill shop with providing the customer with an outstanding product. Our commitment is always to deliver the very best in what we accomplish. We do want our customers to appreciate and value the highest level of the outcomes that we can provide. When you come in for a design, wherever you may like to have cabinets utilized within your home or office or any other activity as a commercial or a residential type operation, we will plant all sorts of suggestions to you on how to solve some of the difficulties that you present to us. And every design that we work on basically has challenges from that standpoint. Some of the smallest kitchens that we've worked on, as an example, have been 2 to 3 cabinets. Some of the largest have been close to 50-some cabinets. So with those, we have a lot of opportunity to excel with you to provide the best design we possibly can to make your area of concern the most efficient possible, that whether it's a rental or whether it's a commercial operation, the utilization of the cabinetry will be the most efficient and most productive from that standpoint. Our customers really honor our recommendations. We honor their goals and eagerly refer that so they can eagerly refer their family and friends as well as other contractors to our location. Our team, which includes designers, administrators, mill shop manager, and our construction people, do an outstanding job of communicating with one another to come up with the best solution for the production process in order to provide the goal that the customer is referring to. We do this with warmth and integrity, and from my position, I'm very happy with almost every product that we accomplish. Some of the products, I'll say, after the first introduction to them, we have to remodify them in order to produce the type of product that the customer is requesting. So come on down, call us and make an appointment, and we'll devote the time we need in order to solve the discussion that you may have concerning your project that you have coming up. The next thing I'd like to talk about is organization within the area, mainly the kitchen, which we do most of our work on as far as the kitchen goes, as far as the designing, and that in itself is sure a challenge with today's activities. And what I mean by activities is all the things that are available that can be utilized in the initial design of your kitchen, as well as the modifications of your kitchens without removing the cabinets from that standpoint. So we like to personalize your design as best as at all possible. We did have a customer recently, as an example. Both the husband and wife were basically on the high level of height, and they did not care for the 34.5-inch tall kitchen arrangement. So we said, no problem. We're able to take care of that for you. One of our vendors, so to speak, will make cabinets just about any height that we ask them to. And so the kitchen counters were at 38 to 39 inches off the floor. This makes it extremely comfortable. And even people that may be only 5'2", 5'4", or 5'7", or whatever it happens to be, will also enjoy that additional height because they will not have to bend down as much in order to work the countertops of the kitchen itself. So that in itself will become very, very important. Organization will be very important also. And many of the items that are available can be extremely efficient in the production and utilization of your kitchen. Of course, we try to maintain as much countertop as possible for the workload and function, and that in itself is always interesting, especially when a customer comes in and says, I like to have a cooktop over here, which is just the burner part of your stove system, and I would like to have a wall oven system over here, and we'll put a microwave over here, and all of a sudden we find out that the countertop space for utilization and preparation work has been minimized to a great extent. So if everybody has a kitchen the size of Emerald, if you happen to watch some of the cooking shows or things of that nature, that would be great. But unfortunately, floor space in designing a home is at a premium, especially with all the items that a customer is requesting going through their initial design. And the initial design today, as well as the construction, financially can get out of hand rather rapidly. So we be very careful at A Handyman's Haven, and we try to tailor the efficiency of a kitchen to the person that's going to be involved in doing majority, if not all, of the cooking. And that in itself becomes very important. Are things in a proper position that where you're able to get to them in a most efficient type manner? So that can be important. There's a lot of organizational equipment available, a lot of ways of handling extra space that come about. And what I mean by extra space is that kitchen cabinetry, as far as the standard construction of the kitchen cabinetry, are basically in 3-inch increments, and they're outside dimension type instruments. They're not the interior dimensions or the utilization of the cabinetry itself. So as an example, if I indicate to you that we have a 30-inch base itself, that means that the outside dimension of that base from left to right is going to be 30 inches. It's going to be 24 inches from front to back, and it's going to be 34.5 inches tall from the floor to the top of the cabinet itself. The countertop, when placed on top of the base cabinet, is going to be in the vicinity of 1.5 inches, plus or minus. That'll give you the kitchen height of the counter to be 36 inches off the floor. It'll be plus or minus that depending upon the type of countertop that you plan on utilizing. Most countertops are in the vicinity of 1.5 inches, but they can vary. If you use a butcher block countertop, which we did just recently, a butcher block could be about 2.5 inches thick, which would make it about 36.5 inches. But that becomes very important. So organizational equipment. I do talk to customers when they would like to have full-depth shelves in a base cabinet, as an example, or I can see that the agility level of the customer I'm working with may be somewhat challenged, and they're requesting items that may force them into getting on their hands and knees, looking in the bottom of a base cabinet. And if it's at nighttime, they may have to use a flashlight. So we talk about that. And it's interesting, some of the comments I get, but most people are very sensitive to that. And some people have even come in and suggested that, you know, I'm getting tired of getting on my hands and knees. So we got a couple ways that we can handle that. And one example would be to use all drawer units in your base cabinets. That would be very apropos, except for maybe the kitchen sink area. Drawer units could be on a choice of full extension glides, and that would be the entire back portion of the cabinet itself would be coming out to the front, where all you have to do is look down in the top of it to see what you have. Your organizational skills for the drawers themselves will be challenged, and that'll be up to you on how you want to set that up, that so you get the appropriate response. Drawer units are normally more expensive than rollout tray units. The only main difference between a drawer unit and a rollout tray unit, as far as storage goes, there isn't any, but as far as application goes, there are a couple small points. One is, with a drawer unit, you just grab the handle or knob that you may have appropriate in the front and pull the drawer out, and there it is, folks. Everything is right there. On a rollout tray, what we use that term for are basically trays, and we can vary the height of the tray up to whatever height that you are going to request. And you have to open the doors to the cabinets themselves. So in a 30-inch or 36-inch cabinet, there normally is two doors. So you open the drawer, the doors, and then you, with the inset that's available on the rollout tray, you pull the rollout tray out to a full extension glide. Now, many companies that provide this do not offer full extension glides, and therefore they use the standard glide system, which only comes out about 3/4 of an inch. But that in itself is also very effective and efficient. You can see the back portion of the drawer unit itself. So in about a 20-inch drawer, you got 5 inches that are still embedded back in the cabinet. But as a result of that, you can see what's back there, and you can get it out relatively easy, get the items out that you're looking for relatively easy. Most rollout trays are very short in height. And what I mean is that the side panels of the tray are maybe 2 or 3 inches. We can vary that height up to about 10, 12, 14 inches, depending upon what you would like. But this does reduce the amount of space that you may have available to put a second rollout tray in from that standpoint. So that develops the efficiency as far as the base cabinets and getting to the items that you may need for your preparation as well as cooking. Another thing that you may want to consider is how high are the items that you want to reach in your upper cabinets or your wall cabinets, as they're called. There are pull-downs available. They're on about 24-inch wide cabinetry is where it's normally set up for, or a 24-inch wide space. You can put that in a wider cabinet. If you have a center post, we can eliminate the center post for you and also accomplish that. What basically occurs is that you grab a handle, which through the extension of your arm, that you're able to grab the handle on the pullouts, the pull-down system, as we would call it, and you can pull down 2 shelves from that standpoint, and everything becomes at eye level. It will stay in position, generally speaking, so you can offload the items that you need or upload the items that you'd like to put back into place when you get through using them. Folks, we've completed the second segment. We're transmitting on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. And we'll see you after break. And Kurt, have fun. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven. We're transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. A Handyman's Haven has 2 locations, one in Green Valley as well as one in Tucson. Our Tucson location is at 1724 South 6th Avenue, 6 blocks south 22nd Street, the big yellow building on the west side of the street. Our Green Valley location is at 125 West Calle de las Tiendas, Suite 103 Alpha. Our phone number at Green Valley is 520-369-4858. Our phone number at our Tucson location is 520-624-7200. We've been discussing organization and tailored efficiency within your kitchen design. Many of these items can be constructed in your present cabinetry. Many of them, when you are redesigning your own brand new kitchens to improve the efficiency for you, it can be very important to be aware of the items that you would like to have. We do highly suggest, when we do the initial interview with the customer and they're interested in making an appointment and coming down and talking to us about their remodeling of their kitchen, we suggest that they list all the items that they do not care for or like with their present kitchen, which may also be some of the same items in the reverse order that they would like to have to improve the efficiency in their new kitchen. Those are very, very important, and then we can look at how we can design various aspects of the kitchen arrangement in order to provide them with the best possible. One of the things that appeared in one of the magazines, but I am referring now to one of our trade magazines, but this happens to be on the web. It's a WebMD. Many people have probably utilized that, but they indicate that trading disorder for sight lines is very, very important. So I'm just going to sort of read a little blurb that they've indicated. And so according to the WebMD, clutter can have a serious impact on your health, causing raised levels of cortisol, a lack of focus, depression, and anxiety, and issues with memory. Issues in memory, which is sort of interesting, and due to our high maturation level as we improve in life, many of us may tend to forget our name, forget where we live, forget various aspects. Oh, I just talked to that person yesterday. Who was that? So on and so forth. So I thought that was rather interesting. Homeowners realizing this are asking for ways to hide or store things that would normally be in view. One of the things that's been pretty interesting is when we talk about putting glass in your kitchen cabinets, mainly in the upper cabinets. On occasions, we do put it in lower cabinets, depending upon what the customer may like to see. But one of the common responses that we receive continually is that, oh, I don't want anybody to see the disorder within my kitchen cabinets. Well, this is exactly what this article is talking about, is that the disorder you're going to have is going to create all these other after effects very subtly, and you may not know why they're occurring to you. The other thing I think is rather interesting is when I visit other people's homes, and this is not to be critical of them, but you know, I say, I'd like to have a glass of water. Can you direct me to where your glass is? Because obviously all the upper kitchen cabinet doors are the wood doors themselves or whatever the door is made out of, and I cannot see inside the cabinet. So I'm going around opening up all the doors. If they can't remember exactly where the glasses are, and that happens many times, trying to find a glass in order to get a glass of water. Where if you have glass in your kitchen cabinet doors, now you're able to see what's in there, and they don't even need to ask. If they're thirsty, they could go over and grab a glass, go to the sink, turn on the water faucet, either have your filtered water or unfiltered water, depending upon what type of water that you have in your home, and take care of themselves with a minimum amount of disturbance and a maximum efficiency on both parties. So disorder, as it says here, disorder and clutter can cause have a serious impact on your health. Very, very interesting from that standpoint. Spices are also another problem. Many customers indicate, well, we don't have very many spices. And when it comes down to it, they may have 50, 60, 70 bottles of spices of various types of spices that they use. And the question comes is, where are all these spices put and how are you going to be able to find them? Well, chances are you have them in an upper cabinet. They're in a 12-inch deep cabinet. You have several shelves of them and they're all stacked one behind the other. And you play the rotation game of pulling one down. No, that's not it. Pulling another one down, putting one back. And it goes on and on and on. Just think about the inefficiency. So if you have your spices that where you could look at them all the time period and just pick out the ones you want, this does require you to purchase a similarity in the storage containers of the spices, and therefore you could develop a storage system with many upper cabinets as well as many drawers in the lower cabinets. Or you could redesign your drawer system as an example, that so it will handle all the spices that you would like to have. One has to be careful today, depending upon where you buy your spices, because sometimes the bottle that is purchased is quite a tall bottle and may require additional space. We do have spice rack pull-out systems that go into cabinets, as well as spice rack pull-out systems will take up space when we cannot fill the appropriate cabinet we need with the sizes of cabinetry that's available. So this does provide a lot of efficiency. One of the kitchens we worked on a time ago is that both the husband and the wife were excellent cooks that did a lot of preparation and cooking and supporting one another. And they installed or had installed 6-inch spice rack systems to the left and right of the stove, as well in the base cabinets and also in the upper cabinets. So they had 4 shelves or so in each of those. That would be a total of 4 times 4 would be 16 shelves. 20-inch deep pull-out system. Lots of spices could be stored in the 6-inch system that was applied to them. So those things make it really nice that where you can get to the items without having to move stuff all around and stacking it up on tables or on the counters that are you're being utilized from that standpoint. Smart storage is also very, very important. And this has a lot to do with the smart storage as far as your home goes. It may not always be in the kitchen that you may need smart storage, but it may be that you're going to utilize it in your bathrooms, or you're going to utilize it in your craft room or your home office. All these items, when it comes to storage, become very, very important. And how are you going to store it, and where are you going to get to it, and how easy is it going to be? Each one of these requests that you have provide an impact upon the selection of cabinetry. So a lot of things are available. If you have your hands full, what are you going to have to do to open up a drawer? Can you push the drawer system, say with your hip or with your knee or your thigh, and will the drawer open up for you? Same thing with the door. There are a lot of mechanisms available today that can be employed on your cabinetry for a very modicum amount of cost that will give you some of these efficiencies. Do you have lighting in your cabinetry? I talked earlier about if you have no pullouts or drawer systems in your base cabinets, that you may have to get on your hands and knees, and look in there, and if it's dark, you may have to get a flashlight out to see what's in the back to store that. So you can install, as an example, LED lights, that's liquid emitting diodes, which are very cool to operate as far as the temperature goes of the bulb itself, and therefore you could have lighting. You open up your cabinet door and the lights turn on. They're low power, using 12 volts in a transformer, and that in itself will avoid a lot of efficiency from that goes. So you can walk up to your base cabinet, you can knee it with your left or right knee, and the reaction will that the door will pop open, and then you can use your foot to grab the bottom of the door and hopefully maintain your balance and get your door open. And with that being in mind, maneuver out your rollout tray, and you can store all the items you need to store. Well, folks, we're transmitting on AM 1030 The Voice with your trusted local news and talk. It's been enjoyable talking with you. We'll come back after this next break, and we'll finish up with some of the things we've started a discussion on. Welcome back to the Hammer Time Radio Show. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven. We're transmitting in the A Handyman's Haven radio studio on AM 1030, The Voice, with your trusted local news and talk. So we've been talking about the efficiency of the cabinetry that may be in your home, wherever it's located, and whatever you may need in order to maintain that efficiency and to keep your functions in a very, very appropriate manner. I'd like to talk a little bit about LED lighting at the present time. And I'll be up front, I'm not the true expert in LED lighting. However, I do use a lot of that in my home. Many people are using it, and it does offer a tremendous savings on the utilization of your electric power. It does require converting a lot of things from that nature. But a little bit about the history of lighting. Most of us know from the candle days, as an example, when the power interruption was quite extensive and we had to use candles in order to support our lighting. Of course, I don't think the power interruptions today have really been terminated. I can tell you that with today's electronics, we've had many, many upsets as time goes on. And who knows what that's going to do with the smart homes and the electronics attached to all the operations. But back in the incandescent lighting days, which is the only thing that many of us know about, the lights did not last very long, maybe about an average of 1,000 to 1,200 hours of utilization of the light. And due to the initial ones that came out, that every time that you cycle the light, you really decrease its efficiency and decrease the hours of utilization. And this is true with any type of electrical equipment that is being utilized, whether it's light, whether it's motors, or whatever happens to be that requires electrical power. So with that being in mind, they dim very unevenly, as an example, and that could be causing some problems. They also flicker at times. And the color, which was rather interesting, was achieved, and many of us have seen the different types of coloring, whether it's red, blue, green, or whether it's a light, easy light, that's white light, or whether it's a cream color light. That was created as a result of the inside of the glass bulb of the incandescent light bulb being painted with a translucent light, or translucent color, that so it would provide the softness or the harshness that we were looking for. Unfortunately, because of the high energy usage of incandescent bulbs that were greater than 39 watts, those have been banned and discontinued or just difficult to find because the amount of power that they use. And it was basically the power that came in. So if you had a 15-amp circuit with 120 volts, you can figure out the power, and that's what hit the light. And every time you turn that light switch on, you deteriorated or reduced the efficiency of the equipment or the construction itself, the material, and therefore its efficiency was curtailed in time. Lifespan was short, as we talked about it. It required the high voltage and to be wired by an electrician because it uses all the standard wiring systems that we utilize today. One of the other lights that came about was the halogen light, and that provided some really nice bright light from that standpoint. There's no ban on the halogen lights today. However, regarding the heating of the light bulb itself, the halogen light becomes very, very hot and can burn you according to its touch. Many of us that have worked in a shop and in various areas like that have used the freestanding halogen light systems that powered up, which gave you tremendous light at nighttime to work or in dim areas in a home when it was under construction. You can also get wired lights that can be wired through the exposure part of your kitchen, and those bulbs will generate a lot of heat in there. So you pay for your heat one way or another. You either use your HVAC system or you could use the halogen light bulbs. The next lights that came along, and they've been around for a long period of time also, are the fluorescent lights or the compact fluorescent light. And that was a new innovation, that latter statement, the compact fluorescent light. The fluorescent lights originally were the long tube lights. They were either in 4 foot, sometimes they were 2 feet, or you can get them in 8 foot pieces. They were very interesting because they would flicker. The power actually went into the light bulb itself, generated the gas. The gas would flow from one end of the bulb to the other end due to the electrical transmission method, and therefore it would last for a period of time, but again, not too extensive. A lot longer than the incandescent light bulb. That could go up to a lifespan of about 24,000 hours. The other unique thing about the incandescent or fluorescent tubes is that it's cycling mechanism. I can remember in one location I was, We were changing light bulbs out all the time period, too frequently from my standpoint. And I talked to one of the residents, and they said that they work in a warehouse, and they leave the lights on 24/7, and they rarely ever have to change the light bulb. That cycling of an electrical power unit, folks, whether it's a motor, whether it's light bulbs or whatever it happens to be of these types of nature, shortens the lifespan extensively, and the cost of replacing a light, which is not too much in that case, but it sure is much more frequent than you would like to do. Especially if your fluorescent lights are about 10 or 12 feet off the floor, that does require a special ladder system, maybe in a harness for security purposes, so you can get the light bulbs changed. Many times the high voltage that is used, I do know that the lights in a commercial building are a three-phase light system. They have ballast in them. The ballast can go out. The ballast was the power source, and that could be very, very important from that standpoint. The next thing that come along, which is a light-emitting diode, which is LEDs, and there has been a great sensation from that standpoint. And I'm going to break at the present time because I see we have a caller. Mark, good afternoon to you, sir, and Happy New Year.
Yeah, Happy New Year, Maurice. Thanks for your show. And I really love LED light bulbs. And I've gone through the whole phase from incandescent to the curly CFLs bulbs to now LEDs. I've replaced everything in my home with LEDs. And I get my light bulbs pretty cheap from dollar store kind of a sales or wherever I get them cheap. But they tend to burn out on me. And some reasons might be because some of them are enclosed in a globe, which isn't good for them, possibly. I don't know why. Or maybe because I'm getting them so cheap from the dollar store. They just don't
that
last.
Could be. That could
and
be.
Once in a while, yeah. Sometimes Ace Hardware has a great sale or somebody
sure.
Get them from the various places. But so there, I replaced nearly everything indoor and outdoor with LEDs. And another nice thing is in the summertime, I don't feel any heat coming from them like I would on typically, well, an incandescent bulb. And it's already hot, and I don't need to feel any heat radiating on me from light bulbs.
So well, that's very true, Mark. There is basically no heat at all. Most LED light bulbs, as you know, use 12 volts of power, but they run through a transformer, and then they go into the bulb itself. So it's a very low power mechanism. The only thing I can really see that would cause some difficulties is the cycling on and off again, because you are challenging the element to produce electricity, and the deterioration of any material is a result of the cycling of the power that goes on and off with it. So.
Okay, maybe that's part of the problem because, there's just light switches that you turn on and off frequently.
Sure.
Possibly more frequent than they're designed for. But so I do love them, and you can get them in spotlight kind of formats. You can get them different warmths. What do you call that?
There's the cool factor, the warmth factor.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, there's another name
right.
for that.
Yeah, the temperature or something like that.
Sure.
Whether you want it, somewhat blue or very white or a little bit red, whatever it is. And of course, you can get LEDs in colors.
Yes, you can.
Decorations.
Yes.
And so I love them. I think they're fantastic.
A good place to get some good examples of that is at Sun Lighting on East Broadway. If you go to the back of their store after you walk in, they can show you the different colors that they have on LED lights. A. Handy Man's Haven happens to have a big display of cabinetry in the back of that store, and they've put the lights in the cabinets themselves. So when you open up a door or a drawer, you have lights. But the overhead lighting system is also color-oriented, and you can get a good idea of what can be done with the different colors and the heat, so to speak, of the lights themselves.
Yeah, another thing is you don't burn your fingers on them or accidentally, like in a refrigerator that I have a light bulb in there that's kind of exposed.
Sure.
Anyway, the shield came off. And once in a while, I'll burn the back of my hand on it.
Well, that's very true.
So I've replaced that with an LED bulb. It's just fine.
Listen, I appreciate the comments very much, Mark. We're coming to the end of the program here. I hope you have a great holiday season. And folks, thanks for listening today. I am Maurice from A Handyman's Haven, and we'll see you next week.